Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahushua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and my website is crosstheborder.org. I'm Nicholas, and we've been going through the Bible, and we're in the book of Daniel right now. We jump back in and cover Daniel chapter 8. Or 7 yesterday, actually, and we started on chapter 8. So we're going to continue here today. If you missed the program yesterday, you'll find that it's archived there at crosstheborder.org. Also, before that, we spent 2 days on rules for interpreting the beasts and the symbols of Daniel and Revelation, which really opens up the scripture. Understanding these principles of interpretation is, it just can't do without it when you're going through Daniel and the book of Revelation, which we plan on going through the book of Revelation after we finish up with Daniel, thereby bringing both books together, which we have been doing, though, throughout. But our focus for now is on Daniel. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. So we're talking 2 years later. He's talking about the vision he had before in the first year of the reign of King Belshazzar, which was recorded in chapter 7 of Daniel. So we know it's 2 years later, 2 or 3 years later. We're not given an exact date. He says, I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. I saw in a vision, and I was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Well, let's talk about this ram, which is really a male sheep. The ram was used in Daniel 8 to represent Medo-Persia, and this is the interpretation given in the scripture itself because Daniel asked for the interpretation. It was noted by Daniel that the ram had two horns, but one horn came up later than the first and became higher than the two horns. This animal appears to have started out with one horn, like a goat, but it says the second horn came up last and then rose higher than the first horn. This would imply that one horn was present initially and the second came up later, then rose higher. The pattern of this ram is like that of the goat, but evidently started out with one horn, but in this case it was quickly eclipsed by a second horn, so both had one or more horns arise after the first horn. It appears that Yahuwah, God, is trying to show us that we can consider a horn coming up after another horn in a vision to correspond to a power that arises out of the same initial kingdom or beast image, but arises at a later time. In history, the kingdom of Medo-Persia is where modern-day Iran is located. Historically, the Medes initially formed the kingdom. Later, the Persians arose from within the same kingdom and took it over. It seems that Cyrus, a Persian, was evidently a dependent vassal king under the Median king by the name of Astyages. In 549 BC, Cyrus overcame Astyages, who was the grandfather of Cyrus II, and became king of the Median Empire. He then proceeded to defeat resistance within the Median Empire, and within a few years was able to unite his entire empire. After that, he turned toward Asia Minor and defeated Croesus, the king of the Lydian Empire, in 546 BC, the first of his kingdom's three conquests. Next, he defeated Babylon, which was the second of his kingdom's three conquests, in 539 or 38 BC. Cyrus was succeeded by Cambyses. In 525 BC, Cambyses defeated Egypt to complete his empire, which was the third conquest of the three conquests his kingdom this kingdom engaged in. He attempted to engage it even further by battling with the Cushite kingdom of Meroe, but was defeated. So we have there, that would be the Medo-Persian Empire, represented by the he sheep or the ram. Let's go back to our text here and we'll look at the next thing. Okay, I saw the ram pushing westward, northward, and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And as I was considering, behold, a he-goat came up from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had notable horn between his eyes. So we have the characteristic of this goat is that he doesn't touch the ground. Perhaps that means that he moves swiftly, like a bird or an eagle through the air. And we discussed that before in the previous chapter, because the goat represents Greece, of course, and Alexander the Great. So he had the notable horn between his eyes, which I believe would be Alexander the Great. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with anger against him, and smote the ram, and he broke his two horns. And there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. I believe all of this is self-explanatory here. We have, of course, Alexander the Great coming out and conquering Babylon. I mean, conquering the, not Babylon, Babylon was already conquered, but conquering the Medo-Persian Empire. And none could deliver the ram, that is the male sheep, out of the male goat's hand. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it came up four notable ones toward the winds of heaven. So that there tells us about that second empire that destroys the male sheep. And so let's look a little deeper into that to make sure that we've got this right. Let's do an explanation of the goat of Daniel 8. The single horn replaced by four horns indicates four kingdoms follow an initial single kingdom. A horn is equivalent to a head, which is equivalent to the body of a beast in terms of what each symbolizes. One horn being replaced with four horns is represented the fact that one kingdom was divided into four kingdoms. It really is that simple. And that's what happened to the Greek empire of Alexander the Great. So we have the he-goat, which represents the body of the empire or its beginning. And then we have, at first it has a single horn, and then later on it is replaced with four horns. So it's the same empire, but it's now being split up, and history bears that out. And it's wonderful to have hindsight to interpret the prophecy of Scripture. In Daniel 8, it is said that the goat with the single horn represented the king of Greece, with the single horn representing its first king. And not only is it great to have hindsight in history, but it's wonderful as we go through the same scripture where the angel that is interprets the dream for Daniel or the vision for Daniel and plainly tells him these things, you know, what empires those beasts represent. And because of that, we can build rules or principles on interpretations that the scripture gives us, and this helps us to interpret things that are not given. So we understand the things that are not given by the things that are given. So the scripture gives us everything we need to understand everything it gives us, hopefully. I mean, sometimes we don't get it all, but I believe it's all there. And I believe that one day, a lot of things we don't see, they're easier to see after the fact. So we still struggle with the things that are yet future, because we don't have that hindsight, but after they're completed, then we'll see it all. And of course, the day will come when we will understand it all. Daniel saw the goat arriving with such speed that his feet did not touch the ground, sort of like what is portrayed in some cartoon characters on the television. Also, it's portrayed by the fact that some beasts, or prior, in the prior vision, this, the beast that represented, Greece had wings. And, this was done to represent the great speed with which Alexander the Great conquered other kingdoms and built his empire. But in particular, it was representing its attack against Medo-Persia. The goat is shown to totally defeat the ram, and in fact, that is what happened in history as well. The single horn being prominent on the goat, and the great speed with which he arrived would suggest the progressive nature of Alexander the Great. The great speed of arrival and the prominence of the horn are secondary characteristics, something about a beast, other than just the mere presence of its body, heads, or horns, of this beast is used to describe its behavior. This illustrates what is called the characteristics principle, where extras such as wings, ribs, in the beast's mouth, colors, or secondary characteristics help us understand the behavior of a kingdom or something in particular that it would do or how it would do something. The three ribs in the bear's mouth for Medo-Persia, which from the prior chapter would be another example of the characteristic principle. And so let's jump back into our context, into our scripture here. Daniel chapter 8 and verse 9. And it says, "And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great, toward the south and toward the east, toward the west," I mean toward the pleasant land. It didn't say west, sorry about that. Let me read that again. "And out of one of them," and of course out of one of the four horns of the goat, so we have a progression of time. We have Alexander the Great with the single horn replaced by the four horns, and then out of one of them came forth a little horn. So this represents, and I believe that this little represents a territory, and this of course is referring to Rome, which in Rome was little in territory compared to the territory of the four horns of the goat. But it says, "which waxed exceeding great." So we know that this little horn is going to grow in its greatness, and it's going to probably, well, it's going to become bigger than any of the other horns that were before it. But it is not. Well, is it part of the goat? Yes. Well, we know that Rome embraced the Hellenistic Hellenistic attributes in its governing, in its religions. It embraced everything that Greece had to offer. So, in a way, Rome did come out of Greece and out of that beast, of course, because it says, "and out of one of them." So the territory of one of those little, those four horns, out of that, out of the territory of one of those, this little horn comes forth, and then it waxes exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. Of course, the pleasant land would be referring to the land of Israel, the land that was promised, the promised land. And it says here in verse 10, "and it waxed great even to the host of heaven." Now, of course, the host of heaven is referring to the people of Israel itself, because Israel represented the mortal kingdom of God on earth, and we discussed that many times as we went through the scripture. And you know, getting into these prophetic books of Daniel, and then we'll get into Revelation, it is just wonderful to have the understanding that we gain from going through the first four books of the Old Testament, that being Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Deuteronomy, gives us a much greater understanding, and as we'll see as we continue here. So he waxed great, and he cast the host, and that is the people of Yahuwah, the Israelites, the Yahudim. It cast some of the host and of the stars to the ground. Now we know that all Israel was not present then. So this is another indication that Rome, or that little horn, which came out of one of the four horns, would cast, would conquer the pleasant land, and it would cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamp upon them. It says, and it stamped upon them. So what is this host and of the stars? So of the stars is referring to the stars of the host. And if we go back, we'll remember that Joseph had a dream, And his dream caught him in a lot of trouble with his brothers because they sold him into slavery after they conspired to kill him, even though some of his brothers tried to deliver him. But in his dream, the stars represented the 12 brothers or the 12 tribes of Israel. So we have another piece there from Joseph. So the hosts being all of Israel, and it says, it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground. So not all of Israel was present there, but mainly Judah, although there were people in Israel or the Yahudim of the other tribes present at that time. As you see, when you go through the Gospels themselves, you'll see that there were representatives there of all of the tribes, though not the whole tribes, because Israel, for the main part, had been scattered to the nations at that time, and what remained was, what was called Judah, or the Yahudim, or the tribe of Judah. The Yahudites, Judahites, were mainly what remained, and that was to bring forth the Messiah. In verse 11, yes, he magnified himself even to the prince of the hosts. And there we have a reference, of course, to the Messiah himself. So we know we're talking about Rome because none of the horns, we have the little horn that came out of the four horns of the Grecian Empire. So it's fairly easy to understand and interpret this with the hindsight that we have. He magnified himself even to the prince of the hosts, and by him was the daily was taken away. Okay, the daily, of course, is referring to the sacrificial system, the temple priest sacrifice system being taken away. And it says, by him, the daily was taken away. So by who? Well, it was taken away by the death when Yahushua was on the cross and he said, it is finished, and the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Well, that put an end to the daily right there. And of course, I don't know, and someone may have some research on this, I don't know whether the priests that were left repaired the veil in the temple and carried on for as long as they could until the destruction. But essentially, the daily was taken away there. Even if they went through the motions after that, it was not anything that was authorized by Yahuwah, our Creator, because he put an end to it there. He put an end to the animal, to the priest sacrifice, temple sacrifice system at that time, priest tabernacle sacrifice system. And the tabernacle, of course, became the temple, or the temple was the new tabernacle because it took place of the tent tabernacle that Israel had before. And it goes on, and a host was given him against the daily. So we see that the daily was taken away, but a host was given to him against the daily. And we're still talking about this little horn power, of course, the Roman Empire, against the daily by reason of transgression. What was the transgression? The transgression would have been, just the continual idolatry of Israel up until that time. Another part of the transgression was the rejection of the Messiah. I mean, plainly put it there. So by reason of the transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. So what was the truth? Well, the truth is in the statement here too. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of the transgression. But who held the truth? The truth was held by the followers, or those who accepted Yahushua, the Messiah. So this would be an indication that this same power also persecutes the saints who hold the truth. And what is the truth? It's the Word of God, but it was the New Testament that Yahushua brought. And it says, and it practiced and prospered. And so it continues on, that beast power practiced and prospered. So that's the end of that part of the vision. So we've discussed that thoroughly, and we know that that's Rome. And there is a lot in those 1, 2, 3, 4 verses that we just covered there. Now we have a little switch in gears. He saw this in a vision. Now he says, then I heard one saint speaking and another saint says, and the word here saint may be somewhat deceptive because it is a kadosh, which means sacred. So he's referring to, and I don't know who these so-called, as it is interpreted here, saints, I'm not sure that saint is the proper word, or they could be holy ones. He could be referring to them as holy ones, but it basically comes from the word kadosh, kadosh, which means sacred, and it says ceremonial or morally, an angel, a saint, a sanctuary, a holy one. So we'll just refer to them as holy ones, which could be referring to angels or definitely a messenger of Yahuwah. So he hears one saint. So there's two of these beings there, whatever they are, angels more likely. So he says, I heard one saint speaking to another saint and said unto that certain saint which spoke, how long the vision concerning the daily? So there's one question. And the transgression of the desolation to give the to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. There's really two questions here. I heard one saint speak and the other saint, but they seem to be combined. And, you know, this is a very controversial part of scripture here because everything I've read doesn't make sense. And I'm just going to tell you that is that I don't know. I have some ideas and they're different from other ideas I've heard, but somehow it doesn't seem to be that important. But let's talk about it anyway. I heard one saint speaking to another saint, and he said to that certain saint when spoke. So one saint is speaking to another saint, and then the other one says, how long the vision, the daily? And here we have added words. He says, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily? They add these words in. But really, it says, how long the vision, the daily, and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And he said unto me, so now this angel turns to Daniel and talks to him. Here, see these two angels or holy ones talking to each other. One is speaking, the other one asks the one that's speaking this question, and then he turns unto Daniel and he says, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Well, this doesn't quite jibe with what was going on before. Before we see the destruction of the temple, we see the destruction of the sanctuary, we see an end to the daily. So this question does not seem to fit with the vision. So how long the vision, the daily, and the transgression of desolation? Now I've considered this, the 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, many people like to, well, they say, well, we have day, a year for day interpretations throughout the book of Daniel, but I see a difference here. So I'm going to try to apply this difference principle here, and perhaps we'll jump into this. Well, we'll get into the difference principle, but when we come back. Anyway, I tried to work this out in years, and I have a document that says what year is it on my website at crosstheborder.org. You can find the link there. What year is it? And if you scroll down to page 4, you'll see where I added the 2300 and years from Daniel 8:14. And it ends up in 1844. And the day year interpretation of Daniel 8:14 is, I reject it because the context, I believe it's rejected by the context, though this scenario is widely held. And we'll get into the reasons why I reject it and what the alternative is when we come back from the break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.